following was recorded at the St. Louis Bi-State Area Retreat held September 11th and 12th, 2020. We would like to remind you that the opinions expressed here today are those of the individual and they do not represent OA as a whole.
Oh, wow. I was so wound up last night, I couldn't go to sleep. I was able to watch an interesting movie with my husband Jimmy, and so that helped me relax. So I think it was about 12 o'clock last night that I was finally able to try to lay down. I think I might have got about 4 hours of sleep. I'm grateful to be here. I'd like to say that my name is Janice, and I am a recovered abstinent compulsive overeater with a program. I'm a member of the International Fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous for 42 years. I know that God is real, and I know he is large, and I know he's in charge. And I also know that he is with me right here, and I invite him to be with all of you also. I would also pray that you will listen with your heart as well as your ears, and I will share the language of my heart. I will describe in my own language, in my own Cajun accent, with this South Louisiana drawl, from my own point of view, the way these 12 steps and 12 traditions, my commitment to abstinence, this OA of life has led me to establish my relationship with God, the God of my own understanding. The great reality that's deep down inside of me. This is a permanent establishment for me that has allowed me to settle into a position of trusting and relying upon God, which is giving me this long-term recovery. I really been thinking about my birth and when my heart started beating outside of my mother's womb. Because my heart started beating long ago before I came into the world. And I was reading my birth certificate the other day, and it said that I was born alive. So here I am, I'm alive, you know. And the reason why I was looking at that, because I had a sister that died before I was born, and I'm the fifth child of a six, and it said that there was one child had died. But when they had it by my name, it says I was born live. I think that's so interesting, you know, that I could find out so much information about myself, about looking at documents and looking at genealogy. And I'm really like to look into that. I'm not a big nut about it, but there is information that I like to look at. And this morning I was thinking about those sweet words that my sweet little grandmother said over me when I was born. Petite fille, you know, a little girl. And she was the first one that ever spoke words over me. I'm grateful for that. She could not speak English, I was told. I was 4 years and 4 months when she died, so I didn't ever really, really know her. My mother always told me that I was so much like her. And the way she described me was that I had small hands and small feet like her. I was small like her. But she also was very curious. And my mama always thought that I was too curious. And today, that this is one of my greatest attributes, because it allows me to continue to seek. I am a seeker. I am a learner. And I will not stop until the day I die, I hope. I appreciate what Connie said, that I have a sharp mind, you know, I really do. My schooling ended at the end of the 12th grade, but my learning has not stopped. And I am learning so much more just being able to do this retreat. I want to thank the committee for putting this on. I want to thank Cindy for loving me and knowing me enough to be able to invite me to do this. And I'm also very grateful to myself to be able to have accepted that I am in a position to be able to do this in my own. This was a bedroom. This was my daughter's bedroom, but I've turned it into my OA office. It has been my OA office for many, many years, because I have done service beyond the group level for years and years and years. I didn't go to any group until I was in the program years, but I haven't stopped since then. And I'm thinking about, you know, what I was named, Janice Marie Gautreau. Gautreau is my last name, Gautreau. It is French. My ancestors did come from France, and they did settle in Nova Scotia. The Acadians, you know, they moved on down. That is a very, very interesting story about how, you know, they were driven out of France because of their spiritual beliefs and everything. So I love to understand that. And my name, Janice, what I've heard and read on different things, and my daughter did give me a plaque, and some people do give me a plaque, but I'm told that my name Janice means God is gracious. God is gracious. And he has been very gracious to me in my life, even through all the hardships, even through all of the insecurities and the abandonments. He is very gracious to me, and I'm very grateful for that. And one of the first few sentences of that statement is that God is my light. God is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? But, you know, I do have fears, but the program has allowed me to be able to list those fears and see why I am afraid. And mostly why I am afraid is because self-reliance fails me. I am so full of self till I get lost in what I'm really, really supposed to do. So I will continue with my sacred journey, my sacred story. I love the tiara, Susan. You go, girl. You go, girl. I think that is just so delightful. Also, I like that Amy camping in that tent with us. I think, you know, I think that is just so sweet that we can take ourselves where we need to be. And also, be still. I have never learned how to be still. I still can't be still. I don't want to be still. You know, I want to be able to continue to move. My husband, he's been telling me all my life, and ever since he's known me and everything, he said, you're just like a worm in an ant pile, you know, because you can't keep still. You're always wiggling. You're always moving, okay? But that's all right, because that's an energy that's inside of me. And what, you know, life in recovery has taught me to use it wisely, to use that energy wisely. I would like to say that faith, something that I do want to bring out right now. And I also like what somebody says when I pause, is when she could really catch what I was saying. Because I feel like I got to rattle it on. It's got to roll off of my tongue really, really fast. But it's in the pause that God really speaks, okay? So I appreciate somebody making that statement. And I will not beat myself up for when I'm trying to connect my words again and the things that I really want to share. But a statement that really, really makes a lot of sense to me is, it's in our for today, and it's on page 204, but it's also repeated on page 69 in our OA 12 and 12. And the statement is, repetition is the only form of permanence that nature can achieve. Okay, I will be repeating myself today, okay? I will, because more times, the same words gives me a different meaning and a new insight. It's like right now, I am in the middle of a 12-step program that someone is helping me go through the 12 steps again. And I'm learning so much more about myself, but also being discouraged because I'm still that sick after 42 years of being in OA, you know. And I complain about that, and I talk to her about that. And she said, Janice, it just gives you more opportunity to be able to correct things, okay? And so it just gives me more opportunity to be able to be a better person, to have more tolerance, to be more considerate, you know, to not be so afraid, to be more secure. All of those kinds of things. When my last sponsor, Cheryl, got sick and had that brain tumor, and about a year or so before, she suffered for a year with that brain tumor, and it was so painful because she was vibrant, you know, but maybe a year or so before she died, I wasn't liking the things she was telling me and everything, and it didn't ring true inside of myself. And so there's a lady that lives in Houma She came to OA about a year after OA started at home and I was here, but she didn't stay. She did not stay. But that woman loves me. She knows me. She loves me. And she really guides me spiritually. And so around that time, I asked her if she would be my spiritual advisor. She's not in the program. I had hoped that that would bring her back to the program, but it didn't. But she's I call her my spiritual advisor. And she's always telling me, you got to line it up, Janice, line it up. And when I make that phone call, she'll say, you lining it up, Janice, you just got to line it up. And a lot of times it's like, I need to make a phone call and I don't want to. I mean, I needed to change insurance for my car and my house for years. I mean, years. I'm so hate to say that, but finally, I lined it up to call my insurance and combine my insurance. And I'm telling you, girl, I am saving $300 a month. That's not insane to keep not wanting to make I want to say the word, Cindy, but I'm not going to say it, to make that phone call, okay? And I read something, a lady that wrote a book, and she said, just make the damn phone call, you know? And so that's what, when I line it up, it's like, okay, Janice, just make that phone call, you know, because it usually works out a lot better than stewing in my mind. And, you know, talking about being still and everything, there's a meditation that I do with this statement, be still and know that I am God. You know, it is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in one of the stories, that statement. But this person said that if I could just drop a word, each sentence that I say, you know, be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know I. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be. I just need to be. I am Janice. I am this person that entered the world alive. August the 7th of 1939, which is 81 years ago. And I am grateful that I found Overeaters Anonymous when I was 38. I have been in OA over half of my life. And it's given me a great life. I had what you want to call a good life before, but I had the disease. And as much as my husband loved me, he couldn't help me with this. I needed all of you to be able to help me with this, because he doesn't have the disease and he wants to protect me and he wants to control it and he wants to do all the things that people that say they love you want to do, okay? I want him to love me like I am with this disease, that I need to have Overeaters Anonymous, that I needed to do all of this service, that I needed to fly all over the world to be able to carry this message, because that's part of my 12-step work. My primary purpose is to carry this message. My primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message to those who still suffer. And I'm grateful that God has given me the energy and that inability to be still, because I'm not going to be still about this program. I am not going to be still about carrying this message. And you know, this has given me a new boost, because I know I can still do it. I can still do it, because I know that I serve in OA above the group level for 35 years, okay? Intergroup chair, becoming an intergroup rep, going to being a delegate at World Service. I mean, I began with all of that. And in 1992, I was elected to serve as Region 8 trustee. 3 years I served there, reran, was reelected. 6 years served as Region 8 trustee. Was able to travel all over the Region 8 area and all, and carry the message. And the last year I was trustee of Region 8, I was gone 101 days out of the whole month, okay? What was beautiful about that is my husband retired. It was during the oil field crunch in the 1989. He retired, and he was able to come with me a lot, because instead of flying, we would drive and we would take a vacation in the meantime. And so it was a very good time for him. And I want to tell you, people loved him more than they loved me, I think, you know, but I'm like that. I think other people love other people more than they love me. And when I say that, people say, oh, Janice, you're so loved. I said, okay. But, you know, I know that I am loved, and I'm grateful for that too. So for 3 years, I didn't serve at World Service. I didn't serve at Region 8. I didn't serve at Intergroup that much. I did still go to Intergroup meetings, but it was like, what am I going to do with all this knowledge? Because I learned more about the traditions. I learned more about the bylaws of Overeaters Anonymous. I learned more about the policies and procedures manual. I learned so much. I wrote an article for our SOAR newsletter once a month for 6 years. I mean, what am I going to do with myself now, you know? And that's what I started feeling strange, you know? And then I got to go to conference in 2002, was the first time I had went. I went as a representative for my intergroup. I mean, a delegate for my intergroup. I had barely gotten my butt in the seat. A couple of people kept saying, Janice, why don't you put your application in for Region 4? Because Region 4 has not sent forth a candidate or a person to serve. So Karen was my sponsor at that time, and I was talking to her about that. I said, oh, Karen, they want me to do this. They want me to do that. They want me to do this. And she said, girl, you go ahead and you put your application in, okay? And I think there were about 4 people that put their application in. And the first round, there was a tie. And the second round, I was appointed by one vote, okay? But one vote is all you need, huh, in an election. So anyway, I was appointed to serve Region 4. So Region 4 has a very, very special place in my heart because it helped me grow. And it helped me be able to carry on all what I had learned about the traditions, all what I had learned about the bylaws, all that I had learned about the policies and procedures manual. And they accepted me and they loved me. And they corrected me when I was wrong too. And so I learned a lot more about that. In 9 months, I went the Region 4 area 4 times. I flew there 4 times. I would like to say that there was this person that should have, could have, would have put her in her application, and she didn't because she was not encouraged, okay? We have got to encourage people to do this service because I was encouraged the whole way through. Janice, you can do this, you can do that. It's like, do what? I didn't even know what they were telling me I could do, you know? Most especially about the first time I flew to Augusta, Georgia as an alternate regional representative for COLA. I didn't have a clue what all that was. Had never flown in an airplane, you know? I mean, it was a whole new experience. But I remember 1983, there was a lady that had hired a bus. And a bunch of us from the COLA intergroup rode on this bus to Cocoa Beach, Florida, to a Region 8 Recovery Convention and Business Assembly. And I mean, I love the convention, but I went into that business assembly. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. You know, that was boring to me, you know? And so anyway, that was my first experience with a regional assembly. Well, anyway, I went in there. And the person that was the chair at that time, I got her up against the wall and I said, why didn't you put your application in? And she started telling me why. And so we took it from there, okay? But I would like to say, since 2003, they're on their 4th trustee right now, okay? And 2 of those trustees became chairman of the board of Overeaters Anonymous. Don't tell me that we can't encourage other people to do this service. Some of us have skills that can do certain things, and others of us have skills that can do other things. But we need to continue to encourage people. So if you see people that are on the verge or something like that, please, 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 please encourage them. Cheryl used to always tell me, Janice, one of your biggest spiritual virtues is encouragement. And I'm going to take that, okay? Because I know that I can encourage people, and I'm grateful for that. Woo, I'm on a rant. So After that, in 2003, we had the World Service Convention in New Orleans, okay? And Region 8 was having a hard time with the vice chair of that time. And so someone asked me, Janice, could you come in July to somewhere where the convention assembly was? And I said, yeah, I can come to, you know, sit in as vice chair. And so the next November, there were elections for the new vice chair. And I received that election also as vice chair of Region 8. And then that's a 2-year term. And so I served 4 years as vice chair of Region 8. More learning, more curves. It taught me how to go into the inner group and encourage them to put in a bid to do the assembly, and how to talk to hotels about, you know, giving us better prices and stuff like that. I learned how to do that, people, but I didn't do it by myself. I did it with people that knew how to do stuff like that. The things that I had to do, that it was only a vice chair that could do it, I could do it. But there was a lot of other people behind the scenes and everything that was doing so much of the work. We do not have to do this by ourselves, okay? And like it tells us in our meeting format, together we get better, and together we get this done. And it's the unity of all of us that we get all of this done. In 2009, I ran for chair of region. Do you know what? They didn't elect me. I ran for chair of region 8 twice and I never got it, okay? But I kept doing it, okay? But someone told me that day, it was such a beautiful thing. And she said, when I didn't get, I was very devastated, okay? And she said, Janice, God's got something greater for you to do. God's got something more for you to do. And he did. I got this call, Janice. The board is looking for someone to be the interim trustee for Region 10, Australia and New Zealand girls, okay? I said, oh. And so put in your application. 4 people put in the application. First ballot, I was appointed, okay? Now what do I do? I don't have a passport. I've never, what am I gonna do, okay? The first assignment was New Zealand, okay? And the next was Australia. And you know, my husband, he was like getting jealous because I was gonna get to go to Australia, okay? Because we knew some people from there. So anyway, I decided that I was gonna buy him a ticket to go to Australia with me, okay? We spent 16 days in Australia and New Zealand because New Zealand was hoping their assembly and their region assembly and all. So what a wonderful experience, okay? Well, I had this was 2010, okay? So in 2011, I went back to Australia by myself. I spent a month in Australia by myself. I went from one end of that continent to the other and back, flew out. I don't have all those words in my mouth, but I flew all the way to Perth and all the way back to Adelaide and all that. But anyway, that was a wonderful experience. This barefoot country girl that is abstinent and committed to her relationship with God and committed to the principles of this program and committed to service has been able to do that. But before that, in 1998, when I was still serving as Region 8 trustee, I was invited to go to South Africa, okay? Naturally, Jimmy being the outdoorsman he is, the deer hunter that he is, the taxidermist that he is, I mean, he loves the outdoors and stuff like that. He was really jealous of that, okay? Well, I had never went abroad and I didn't have a passport, okay? I mean, I had to learn how to go by getting a passport. And so he pouted enough, you know, and someone in the program was generous enough to give Jimmy a ticket, frequent flyer miles, for him to be able to go to South Africa with me. There are generous people in this program, and there are people who really, really want people to get to experience life as God intended them to do. So anyway, we got this free ticket for Jimmy to go to South Africa, and I was going to Johannesburg, South Africa, the one who had invited me. Well, Cape Town, South Africa got wind that I was going to be there. So, I mean, you know, they got on board and they were wanting me to come there while I was going to be there. Well, what are we going to do? Jimmy doesn't have a ticket to go to Cape Town and all. Call this person. That's all right, Janice. I got more frequent flyer miles. I'll give Jimmy a ticket, you know. So, I mean, that was all settled. All we got to do is make the phone calls, you know, and tell them what the problem is and what we might need. So anyway, we spent 16 days in South Africa in March of 2098. And I had to get back because it was the last assembly. We'd have probably stayed longer, but it was the last assembly of me being a trustee for Region 8. So, I mean, I have had a tremendous, tremendous experience of traveling. And here I am in Houma, Louisiana, sitting in my OA office, talking to you people, telling you how grateful I am for all that God and OA and people in OA have given me. And that I am continuing to find answers in my heart, you know, because I always have a heart for service. I always do. And I think I always will. I've been coming through a hard time this last year, as I shared last night about this neuralgia on my face. But it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Okay, but it's not keeping me from talking. And, you know, that's a great thing. And it's not keeping me from being able to be abstinent, although it is kind of hard for me to eat because I bite my face and everything. But I know that, you know, continuing to seek. I love acronyms, okay? And I loved the theme of this retreat is faith. And when I saw faith, you know, it was in capital letters. And then I saw finding answers in the heart. I said, oh, they're making an acronym out of faith. You know, F-A-I-T-H, faith. Oh, wow, yeah. So I got so excited about that. And so I started looking up words in our literature and all about faith. And I already had a lot of notes about faith, you know, from all the years that I've done all of this. But, you know, I have concordances and everything that tell me where words are in the big book and the AA 12 and 12 and all. And this afternoon, I hope I can do what I plan to do it. I have a lot of condition words. There are a lot of condition words in the AA and the AA literature. And it's those conditions the things that I need to do after those condition words that's going to help me to continue to recover, okay? Finding something is to come upon after searching through experience and a study. I am a study bug. I am a study bug. Some people call me that, okay? I've worn out about 4 or 5 dictionaries through these last 42 years. And that is one thing that my mother taught me. And it used to make me so aggravated. And it used to make me feel so abandoned because I would ask her, Mama, how do you spell this? Go look it up, Janice. Go look it up. I didn't like it one bit, but she taught me such a valuable lesson, you know, to look up words. I have carried a dictionary with me just about everywhere that I've traveled. When I was a Region 8 trustee, Michael Keckner from Colorado and I wore out a dictionary because he would run across the room and borrow my dictionary, okay? And I had one more year left to serve when he got off. Well, he came to my room one night after he was off of the board and he gave me a brand new dictionary. Okay. And he said, since I helped you wear out yours, you know, here's one. And he wrote a beautiful inscription in it. And I read it often. And then a few years later, I got a dictionary in the mail from him. Okay. And it's got a leather cover. He said, this one might last longer because it's got a leather cover. And he wrote another beautiful inscription in that. So, I mean, It's all of these people who know who I am, what I am, what I do, what I like, you know, that's just so valuable to me. Maybe most of y'all know that purple is my signature color. Also, the rose is my signature flower, you know, and so that song, The Rose, you know, that's a recovery song for me. Some say love, like a flower, the rose of the rose, okay? I didn't know what my favorite color was until I came into OA. Y'all kept teaching me what my favorite color was because of how it looks on me, you know? There's certain colors that look really good on people and some that don't, okay? I'm a cool winter color, a cool color. I'm cool, but that's not what I mean by this, you know? It's the colors that go with people that have cool skin, okay? There was this book that said, why look good when you can look great, okay? And so I started paying attention to what people would tell me how good I looked in certain colors. I have weeded out all of those other autumn colors that doesn't go good with me and everything. And so I'm grateful. So I don't have anything but the cool colors in my closet, okay? Also, I love lipstick and I like makeup, you know, I just do. Some people say that, you know, you need to go without makeup so people can see your real features. I want to use that ugly word, okay, Cindy, but I'm not. I'm going to use my makeup like I want when I want, okay? Lipstick, okay? They have this guy in our neighborhood that is the age of my oldest son. My oldest son is 62, okay? He calls me Ruby Red Lips, okay? So he calls me Ruby Red a lot. And his son started calling me that. I'll tell you, I just have the, hey, Ruby Red, you know, they'll start hollering at me. So I have all kind of like sweet nicknames from different people, okay? One night when the Board of Trustees, the hotel had a fire alarm in the middle of the night, okay? Well, we hear this fire alarm, and guess what? Janice got up and put her lipstick on. So that's been a big joke around the Board of Trustees. You know, I just had to have my lipstick on. But anyway, I feel like if I have lipstick on, I don't have to put any of the other makeup on. So, but anyway, that's just a little tidbit of what I enjoy and like, okay? You know, when I came to OA, April the 4th of 1978, OA was only 7 months old in Houma. And you know, OA wasn't but 18 years old. 18 years old is all OA was at that time. We had a packet that I paid $1.25 for. They had that gray sheet in there, which I learned a lot reading that gray sheet. I read a lot. It told me what to do. It told me what not to do. It told me to weigh and measure my food. It told me what foods to avoid. And I started doing that. It told me how to prepare my food. It told me that I needed to weigh and measure my food. I mean, that was a lot of instructions in that. And just like the Dignity of Choice, it has all that instructions in there too. So if you're sponsoring somebody new or you're interested in it yourself, read the instructions that has been laid down to us, okay? But it also told me that, you know, the food plan could get rid of the outer manifestation of fat, but that was only the part of the program, okay? And so, you know, I just really kept reading that gray sheet. I still have it. I still have the little trifold I bought. I loved it. I carried it with me all the time because I can remember the sad and the insane things that I did around food and everything. I did write it down one time, but I thought it was so insane. I don't know where it is right now. It's probably not that important to what I'm trying to say, but I did insane things, okay? And I spent a lot of money on diet pills. I came to OA because of weight. I came to OA because of weight. I had no idea it was because I had an addiction to certain foods. Sugar and chocolate, man, those were my greatest partners, okay? Sugar and chocolate. I walked away that day, that Tuesday afternoon, April the 4th of 1978. I never had a piece of chocolate or sugar kind of foods since that day. And I'm just so grateful for that because I took this disease serious. I took it very serious. And I took my diagnosis of my disease from what the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous started teaching me. I would like to say that At first, I borrowed the book from the library because I couldn't understand how in the world could an Alcoholics Anonymous book teach me anything about losing weight. But you know, it did, because now through all of these years, I've learned that the weight is just a symptom anyway. It's all these crazy things that I was doing to lose weight. I did lose weight when I first came. I lost 12 pounds the first month I was in OA. Wow, what a concept, you know? And my husband kept saying, Janice, you eat more food than I ever saw you eat before. When I would weigh and measure my food, you know, all this salad, I mean, that looks like a lot of food, okay? What he didn't know a lot was all the sneaking of the candy and all the getting up in the middle of the night and eating half a box of cereal and milk and, you know, that kind of stuff. He didn't see all of that. I didn't care how piled high my food was with this salad, you know, because salad, it takes a lot of salad to make 8 ounces or whatever the ounces was. But I was enjoying it and I was losing weight and I was getting cuter and cuter, let me tell you. And so then in the second month, I lost 5 more pounds. I mean, that was 17 pounds, okay, that I lost in 2 months. And you know what? The reason I think that people in HOMA asked me to start being a secretary to a brand new group in HOMA, I was only in the program 6 weeks. It's because I was losing weight. That's what they saw. Weight is a symptom, but it's also a great symptom for service, okay? Because that's what got me into being able to start doing service in HOMA with a brand new group. I didn't buy the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous until I was in the program 4 months, because I had rented it, I had checked it out from the library for a couple of 2 or 3 times, and thought it was the most stupid book I ever tried to read, because I was reading it at like a novel, and it's not a novel. It's a set of instructions. It's a set of instructions that I need to learn how to follow a step at a time. I would like to say that when How It Works was read this morning, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. What I've come to understand is, it's that path to God that they're talking about, okay? So rarely did they see anybody fail that followed their path. And I was very grateful to be able to have a path to be able to follow, because I was desperate. I was desperate. 6 years before OA, I had to quit taking those diet pills because they were just driving me crazy, nervous, ruining my health, ruining me, ruining my family, ruining my marriage, just because I was so nervous climbing the walls. I knew. God just spoke to me, Janice, you have got to get off of these. But the real reason why they were getting harder and harder to find, okay? And they were getting, the doctors didn't want to give them to me as much, okay? And I can remember that doctor that I was going to in Marrera, close to New Orleans. He said something about taking these diet pills the rest of my life. I said, well, if I can get them, I sure am. You know, I was cocky, you know. Yeah, if I can get them, I'm going to take them. But, you know, he kept telling me I needed to get off of them and all, because they wouldn't just give you a diet pill. Then they'd give you a nerve pill to counteract the nervousness that the diet pill made, okay? I mean, I was just a mess. Okay? So between diet pills and dieting and crazy things I did to lose weight, that was 21 years of my life. And now I got 42 years of not having to do those crazy, crazy things, okay? But six years before I found OA, I quit taking the diet pills. So, you know, that's a long, long time, because that's like, 49 years since I've had a diet pill. And I'm proud to say that. Sometimes during my years of recovery, it was like, well, maybe that'll work. You know, maybe I could do that again. Maybe this, maybe that. And it's just that, you know, my sanity would return and I would get right back into the service and I would get right back into working my steps. But when I really did buy my Alcoholics Anonymous book. I would like to say that I wore out two Alcoholics Anonymous books too. It's not just the dictionaries that I wore out. I wore out my big books, okay? And I was so sorry when my original big book, I mean, the pages were falling out and the binder was broken. And I was sponsoring a lady. She's not in OA right now, but we're still really good friends. And you know, that those are my really, really good friends. The ones who came to OA but left, you know, but I can still be such good friends with them. And they're so much a part of my life. But her husband was a bookbinder. And so he bound my original big book, okay? And I wore out that binder, okay? I've worn it out, but I still have it. And the pages are so paper thin. They have holes in it. And the notes that I've written in and everything, but I still have it. And I sponsor a girl. She said, Janice, I want that book when you die. So they might be having people fighting over my book, you know? But anyway, and in 19... Let's see, I forget what year it was that I bought the large volume, the large version of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I like it because it's got more room to write my notes. You know, it's got more room to underline. It's got more words, spaces that I can underline the words. What I have come to understand is that I started being able to diagnose myself with what these alcoholics were saying about themselves. And I was starting to realize that I had lost the weight, but that wasn't going to stay off because I had read this sentence that, you know, once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Well, the weight was off. Okay. I felt like I had straightened out physically. Wrong. The spiritual malady has to be overcome for me to be able to straighten out emotionally and physically, okay? Some days I'm still not straightened out emotionally, okay? Because I have an emotional illness and we're in this process of this aging. I am not happy at all with this aging process, okay? And that's what I'm working on with this 12-step work that I'm going through right now, because it's like I'm thinking more about my past life than my future. The future looks pretty glum, okay? At times, the future looks pretty glum. And Judy's the girl that from Florida that is taking me through the steps this time. And she said, Janice, you've had an exciting, a good life. And you need to think about those times and appreciate those times. And so, you know, getting ready for this retreat for the last 2 weeks and everything, that's what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking like that's bringing me back, but it's not. It's about the wholeness of my sacred journey, my sacred life. And what it's all about is going to take me through this aging, through this death, and through this end of life experiences. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I want what's been before me, but I have to live in what is today. I have to be with what's in right here today. And when I listen to her, you know, talk about her husband dying and everything and all of that. And I think, oh God, you know, this woman is going through all of this grief and she's helping me. That is the dedication to helping another human being. Because deep down in my soul, in my heart, I know it's helping her also. And I feel so sad to listen to her sometimes. But she shares her sadness with me and then we go on with the work. We go on with the work. Last night when I shared about that fifth column, I never did really understand that fifth column until now. And someone that I talk to often said, Janice, you never did explain that fifth column. I said, well, I really don't kind of understand it myself yet, okay? But what I do understand is, I understand what I wrote in my character defects. I understand what I wrote in my deficiencies. I have a lot of deficiencies, okay? And that's part of my sixth step. But I also know that I have to go on into that seventh step and humbly ask God to remove it, you know, because I can't remove it. And I'm offering him my good and my bad, you know? When Jeannie was sponsoring me when I was in the program about 10 years, I used to say, Jeannie, I feel like only the bad is being left. You know, I feel like only the bad is being left. But the more I shared what I thought was the bad, the more she loved me, okay? And the more I share how bad I am, the more people love me, you know? And so I know that I have to let God remove for me what, you know, I have to just give him. I'm going to share a little bit of what I have written because someone requested that. And, you know, it might help you, maybe, I hope. One of the first things I wrote was, one of my flaws is my pride. Because one of my biggest defects is that I'm self-reliant and I don't want to ask anybody for help. I don't like to ask people for help, okay? And I would like to say that I've had so many procedures with this neuralgia on my face, and my daughter brought me a lot, and she got where she was busy and all, and she said, well, Mama, why don't you ask Todd, my oldest son, to bring you? I hated to make that phone call. To ask my oldest son to bring me to my procedures. And I hardly got it out of my mouth. And I told him, he said, I'll bring you. And so the last three fusions that I had, he brought me and he wanted to bring me. That was a special, special time with me, with that oldest son of mine. He retired January the 2nd. And so he has the time. And I very seldom ever get to be with him on a one-to-one basis like that. And so me lowering my pride and asking for help, I got so blessed to be able to be with my son, my firstborn son. Pride has got to go by the wayside, people. It has got to, because I'm robbing myself of goodness and the gifts and robbing that other person. Okay, so I have to be humble. I have to be humble, and I have to ask God to remove that self-reliance. The big wig taught me that self-reliance fails me. And another big one is for me is that unrealistic expectations. You know, unrealistic expectations is unrealistic for me to think Jimmy is going to be as romantic as he was when we were dating, when he was 21 and I was 14. You know, that's unrealistic to think that. He does, he still does court me. He thinks I'm the cutest thing. Then lack of tolerance is so prevalent with me at times. And that unreasonable demands, I mean, you know, unreasonable demands. I just have to stop all that. But, and also thinking someone else can make me happy. Another person is never going to make me happy, okay? I might enjoy them. They might enjoy me. They might strengthen me, but it's not where the happiness is going to come from. And I might get a lot of joy out of it, okay? Another defect of mine is that I hide how I feel a lot. Believe it or not, I do. Most especially about negative. My husband cannot understand how I'm hurting this bad and I don't complain about it. He cannot understand that, okay? And so I don't say anything to him because we get in a discussion that makes me so angry and I get so mad. And so I hide my feelings about that, okay? And sometimes I was telling Judy, I lied to him because I don't want to get into that discussion, okay? I just have to ask God to help me with that. Another defect I have is controlling. Oh, well, I bet y'all don't think that about me, but I do. I have a lot of controlling issues, but you know, some things can be controlled and other things can't, okay? Another thing that I have on my fifth step is criticizing. I wanna stop that. And my inconsideration and my lack of compassion and my self-reliance and my indifference. Sometimes I'm really indifferent about certain things, indifferent about with people who suffer this much from the disease. Just get off your ass and do it. I mean, you know, I want to say that, but that's not right for me to do that, okay? I think it a lot. And the ones that I sponsor, I kind of tell them that too, okay? Because they're trusting me. I feel like I have the okay to do that. They're giving me license to be able to help them recover. And I use that license a lot, okay? Another thing is I'm very protective of my loved ones. I'm protective of my loved ones. I can talk about my kids and my husband, but don't you talk about my kids and my husband, okay? And that's not wanting to let go, you know? And I get discouraged when I fall into the error of my old ways. I really get discouraged when those things start happening to me. I get discouraged when I'm inconsiderate or I don't have the capacity at all. I mean, so, you know, I'm not like that all the time, but I needed to make this list. I needed to understand it wasn't just because I'm selfish and self-centered and frightened and dishonest. I had to go beyond that. And that's what this has led me to, this work that I'm doing this time. There's more to it than just being selfish. There's more to it than just being self-centered. And so that's where I'm at right now with this. And I'm excited about this. And I'm grateful that God has put somebody in my life that is helping me with this. It's not an OA or AA approved thing, but it uses all of the AA literature. And so I'm fine with that. You know, another one of my defects that I have on this list is self-pity. It was so funny. While I was looking for the genealogy the other day, and I found so much information about other stuff and stuff that I wrote. And so at 5 o'clock on a Monday morning, February the 16th of 1981, I mean, I hadn't been in OA not even 3 years yet. I found my self-pity list, okay? And I'm going to read it to you because this is what was in my mind 38 years ago. I just got so tickled at it, how the mind's going to slip. But this is what I wrote, okay? Let me see if I can get to where it's really good. Okay, self-pity hurts the person who is feeling it more than anyone else, okay? I've really had my share of self-pity. As I was growing up, coming from a divorced family, my family was different. Why couldn't I have a daddy like the others? Why couldn't we have a car so we could go more places? Why couldn't I have a sister? Why did my two sisters die as babies? And why did mama like my baby brother more than me? Okay, and why did I get married so young and he had to move me to this godforsaken country in Houma, Louisiana, where I didn't know anybody? Okay, all the person I knew was him when I moved down here, but you have to know how much I loved him and I've trusted him, okay? I had to be away from my family. Why did I have to start gaining weight so soon after I got married? Why couldn't I have married someone who was rich? Where there is never enough money to go around. Why did that kid have to spill that milk on my clean wax floor? Look at that sliding door now. I've got to clean it again. Look how dirty you are. I just cleaned you up. You see how it went on and on and on and on. Self-pity, okay? Why do I have to sit here and help these kids with their homework? Why can't they be smart with so-and-so? Why can't I get a babysitter so we can go dancing? And I live by a mom so she could keep my kids. I mean, I just laughed at myself, you know, when I read this. That's where my mind went at 5 o'clock in the morning when I was having to write on self-pity. But, you know, thank God I had found this beautiful program of recovery that helps me understand that it's not bad to feel these things just so I can deal with my feelings promptly. It's a good thing. You know, I didn't get punished for all the thoughts because God has been more than good to me. You know, I didn't have to be punished for all those thoughts. They were just my thoughts. And I got them down on paper and I started sharing them with other people and everything. And I think my time is almost up and I got gobs more to share. And I'm hoping that y'all gonna return. I think it's 1 o'clock that I'm gonna be back. I'm going to stay on a little longer. I got my lunch ready. I cooked for a couple of days for food that I knew that I would have some good nutritional food. And so I have my plate all ready. And all I have to do is put it in the microwave. That is one of the best appliances, the microwave, okay? Now, also a rice cooker is very good. And I tell you, the Instant Pot is right up there with it, okay? So anyway, is my time up? Thank y'all so much.